What's the title of this thing? No title again?
And I
Well, hello. Back at you. And I guess, if we're counting, which we are, this would be Dixon Jane's podcast at number 21. Brought to you from the shores of Pickle Lake, or something like that. You might hear a version of Kumbaya in the background, as some young folks sit around the campfire, but not my girls. They've just headed out once again in the three Voyageur canoes. This evening, it's dark. It's after 9, maybe 9:30. Clouded over, unfortunately. They were going to go out star searching. But anyway, they're out on the lake. And with three of the staff members, so I wasn't needed this time to steer one of the Voyageurs, and so I opted out. I was given the option of tagging along behind in a kayak. But that would not be much fun in the dark on your own in a little plastic kayak. However, I did try it today. It was the first time I've ever done that. And it was kind of fun. And it was just something new to take on and experience. Paddled along the shore and visited a couple of spots. And then finally brought it in, maybe 45 minutes later, and stepped out and not so gracefully landed flat on my ass in the water. But anyway, it was a lot of fun. And I'm glad I faced up to one more new little challenge. So anyway, this is going to be something like maybe the Japan podcast. I'm on the road for 2 weeks, and so I'm not going to stick with a sort of Saturday podcast schedule. I'm just going to make these little note clippings or voice clippings whenever it strikes me. And I just wrapped up the one, number 20, which you hopefully will listen to before this one, and I'll get that up on the internet as soon as I can. The opening, by the way, for that one was a little bit of a clip from my good friend Terrence at Kobe Beef. He was talking about the show and said, the Scarborough dude's a good show, but he can be a little long-winded, maybe even a little boring sometimes. And it strikes me as funny, and I actually like that. I like the fact that he bothered to comment at all. That's what we're looking for. So I played with that a little bit and put that at the front of the opening of the last one, and I might try it again sometime. It's kind of neat. Anyway, it's dark. I'm sitting on the dock, and I've got a nice Cuban cigar, probably my second to last one from Cousin Zeke's trip to Cuba a while back. I guess I smoked one of them on the podcast when I went camping. Gonna have another one tonight. And just enjoy the peace. And listen to the loons again. And I got a few things to catch up on, tell you about, but anyway, this is the introduction, and I'll be back in a minute. So hang on while I get my cigar.
Thank you.
Hello again. Back here. 6:30 on, I don't know, I think it's Wednesday night. And this is a part of the Dixon James podcast number 21. An unusual part because I'm right now in the bathroom and going about my business, as they used to say. There is a podcast out there called The Daily Download, and in that one, the gentleman who does the show does his podcast on the toilet every day when he has his regular dump. And I know it's one of Adam Curry's favorite podcasts. I just thought, I had to go, I've got some free time. This would be an opportune time to get started and catch up. So hopefully there won't be any rude noises, and you know, at the end I could just pretend I was lying and I wasn't really sitting down on the toilet with my pants down, and you don't have to go through those horrible images. But we'll see. Anyway, I'm still at camp, as we've been all week. I started a podcast to you from here, and I guess there's a few things I wanted to catch up to. We're winding down our time here. We're about to head off to Ottawa in 2 days, which will be very nice. But first of all, tonight, in a short time, we're having a campfire, and they're going to do banana boats, something they cook over the fire. Lots of fun. And today we had a wonderful hike in the back country around here, and then came out on a beach, and the girls had to cook the lunch. Basically, it was cheese sandwiches over propane stoves, which are great grilled cheese sandwiches, and some canned soup, but it was very delicious. And that happened just as a huge storm was approaching, so we managed to scramble and get out of there and walk back to our lovely lodge just before this huge downpour. So that was fortunate, and spent the rest of the day, very cozy afternoon, in the lodge doing games and writing and so on, reading. I gave another little class about what's ahead, and also I managed to have a nice little nap and a can of Hockley on my own, quietly in the room. So it was a very, very pleasant day. The time here has been terrific. It was yesterday, the other teacher and I realized that we had actually lost track of the days, and that's always a good sign when you're at a camp and you don't know what day it is. And it's just been terrific. Every day, stare out at the lake and just get this tremendous calming effect just from looking out there. But the thing I guess I wanted to talk about, the point I wanted to make, was a couple of days ago, standing in the water, we went to a beach, and it was sort of an afternoon, early evening, at the beach, where they could play volleyball or just go in swimming. And, you know, remember, I've got 30 young girls here, 15 years old, and they went into that water, and they just came alive. They were so excited, so happy, so much noise and so much fun. And the staff here are kind of cool, and the girls really like to tease the staff and splash each other. I got completely soaked. I took one of the teachers out on my back, on a piggyback, out into the water. And of course, then the girls chased us, and we got soaked. But just a lot of fun. But as I stood there, watching all these happy people, I once again got that feeling, that little bit of a, not smug feeling, but a self-satisfied feeling that this is my doing. These people are here because I brought them here. I've arranged this program with this staff. And I watched the ripples going out and touch everybody, and I talked in the last podcast about these ripples and the effect, how we touch each other. And I felt really proud, but at the same time, fortunately, I also realized, wait a minute, I really can't take credit for this. I am only one part of this, and that so many other people have played a part in making this program happen. I just happen to be in the place now where it continues, and I just, it will continue as long as I don't break it.
but there were other people instrumental in making this happen. And I started to think about the chain, and I didn't feel bad. I just felt properly put in my place. I am only one part of this equation. And the first teacher who 12 years ago, agreed to take a chance on the tour that I proposed and come to Canada, if it wasn't for her, none of this would have happened. I don't know what I'd be doing. If it wasn't for the role Singapore Sam played out in Singapore. Now, emailing me or writing me or something from Japan and saying, hey, come on, lots of jobs, and I came, and as part of a movement from that graduation class where we took our TESOL certificate, if it wasn't for their influence, I might not have gone to Japan, so none of this might have happened. There are just so many things along the way. We are not isolated. We are not alone. Nothing happens in this vacuum. Nothing is solely due to one person's efforts. So, I don't know. I don't think that came out quite the way I wanted it to. I should have told the story when it was fresh. I'm sorry. But I guess I wanted you to know that I see my proper place, and it's not as significant as I was wanting to believe. I still play a role in this, but I'm aware more of how many other people play a role. And I'm just glad to be a part of it, part of this interaction, part of this team. So I'll stop there and get on with the next topic and so on. And I'm glad I spared you any rude noises. That was it. Job done. Time to mop up. Trying something new here. I'm in nap position. You know how you get your body just right, lying on the bed. Your legs kind of, I don't know, at a certain angle. You just take this position that feels comfortable when you lie down, because I really feel like I need a nap. But I thought, why not, while I drift off, tidy up more of the loose ends here. This is our last night at Bark Lake. Ooh, dang, said it again. Beaver Lake. And we just had a very nice supper. The staff arranged all the tables together so we could all sit as one with the staff, and they lit a fire for us especially. And I was asked to get up and make a quick short speech, which I did very comfortably as head of this group. And I only mention that because it's something that a few years ago, I don't know, 10, 15, I guess, maybe longer in my past, but there was a point in my life when I couldn't have ever imagined standing up in front of people and feeling comfortable speaking and coming up with the right words. And now it's, it's second nature. I can just pull it off. Easily. It comes with the job, you know. It's part of what's required. But it's also just more confidence. And I guess I'm saying that because, man, oh man, I went through a lot of stages when I had no confidence at
all. And really, you know, to the point where I needed psychiatric help, group therapy and all that stuff, which would make another good podcast some other time, but not this time. Anyway, we just, everybody's been walking around, all the staff here and the people I represent from Japan and myself, and just everybody saying how happy they are. Today they organized games for the students that demonstrated the effect of how animals survive. For example, one of the games was Deadly Prey or something. And it was about how DDT gets into the food chain. And so they had a bunch of people who were the grasshoppers. And then there were the mice, and then there were the peregrine falcons. And they each wore different colored armbands, so they knew who they were. And then they organized, they had a whole bunch of sticks representing food, popsicle sticks, scattered all over the beach. And the grasshoppers had to go out and eat these. And then they turned the mice loose, and the mice had to run and catch the grasshoppers. And if they caught them, they got to take their food supply. And then they turned the falcons loose, and the falcons went running after the mice, who were trying to run away. And if the falcons caught a mouse, then they got their food supply. And then they stopped the game, and they said, okay, how many people died, you know, were caught, and they showed a certain percentage of the grasshoppers died, they were just eaten. Then they showed a certain percentage of the mice were eaten by the falcons, and then, for the rest of the grasshoppers that weren't eaten, they got them to hold up their food, and they showed a certain color stick meant it was good food, and other colored sticks represented poison, the DDT that had been put into the system. And they told them, well, sorry, but you die too. You've been poisoned by the DDT. And then they did the same for the mouse. The mice only got their food from eating the grasshoppers, but if they eat the grasshoppers with the DDT, then they got sick and they died. And it went right up to the falcons. And of course, the point was, 60 years ago, the falcons were just about wiped out in Ontario as a result of the DDT. So that was the kind of game. And they did others about wolves attacking muskox and how the mother muskox protects the baby by the herding instinct, and then the father's, or the male, tries to attack the wolf, and they had, you know, tails they could pull out if they were caught, and just tremendous stuff. They're really teaching about ecology. Then after that, they took us into a darkened room, and they projected the constellations up onto the ceiling so the girls could lie, and then they lie down and watch, and then the staff. I say the staff, all these people have names, and they're really, really good people, but I'm just not going to give those out now, because it's a bit of an infringement, I think. Anyway, they gave a talk on the constellations, and gave the Greek legends that went with them, as they used sort of a laser beam to point them out up on the ceiling. And then tonight, we're going to go out, and we're going to look at the real ones. So, that's the kind of program we've done here, in addition to canoeing, and voyageur canoes and high ropes and just games. It's been an excellent, excellent 6-day program for these students, and I'm just thrilled to be here, and they're thrilled to have us here because we're receptive and we're buying into their program. And I don't mean financially, I mean we want the kind of thing that they want to offer. So, and not everybody does, so that's great. Anyway, a very, very happy ending here, and we've been nicknamed, one of the teachers, we've nicknamed the Queen, and the other one the Princess. The young one is a princess, and I've been alternating between the Joker and the Jack. And so tonight, one of the staff members made us little crowns, a queen, a princess, and mine was the Jester, and put us at the head of the table wearing our crowns, and it was just a nice touch. So all in all, an incredibly happy time up here at Beaver Lake. And I'm going to miss it when we leave tomorrow. But tomorrow we're on to other adventures. Ottawa and Quebec City. So it's just a great, great, great part of my work. A great summer program. And just a real pleasure. I mean, the highlight of my year to be part of all this. So I'm sorry if that's boring, but that's what I do for a living. And I'm pretty bloody lucky to have that. So there you go. I'll get back to you.
Jardin Nelson, a courtyard in Old Montreal. Here for my annual lunch. This is a place I've eaten every year, I think, since 1993, when our tour swings through Montreal. We left Ottawa this morning, took a little trip through the top of Mount Royal. I gave the students an overview, a little bit of the history, Jacques Cartier, etc., etc. And then, to my delight, took the teachers out to lunch for the special crepes in what is really one of Old Montreal's nicer restaurants. You can probably hear the classical music in the background. Excellent, excellent flavored crepes of all types. Enjoyed a couple of local beers, a Bordeaux Blonde and a McCallson Apricot. The teachers loved it. What was interesting was the teachers weren't going to join me. And the reason is I've come every year with my good friend Mike from Lachine High Days. And they were being too polite and thought I needed this time to talk alone with Mike. And would not want to interfere, so they kept making excuses. Well, they had some shopping to do, and I finally pushed and realized, no, this was a bit of communication gap. This was, in Japanese terms, they were just being too considerate and couldn't possibly say we'd like to. When we finally sorted it out, and I realized why they were being so polite, that they didn't want to interfere with my conversation with Mike, we got it settled, and they came, and they loved it. And it was just my pleasure to treat them to a wonderful meal. And we'll do the same when we arrive in Quebec tonight. So this is another part of the journey. We have left Bark Lake, and we have left Ottawa after two very nice days in Ottawa, where I never even had the time to pick up this recorder. And now a little bit of time in Montreal before getting back on our great big Coach Canada bus and motoring on to Quebec, where we will stay in a lovely hotel just outside the city, the old city gates, and enjoy a fine feast tonight at a Sugar Shack restaurant out in the bush, featuring traditional Quebecois cuisine. So another fine part of the tour. Bark Lake long behind us, Ottawa behind us, and onward we go. Now that's the transition. By the way, the music you might have heard just before this was our sweet little girl singing. Poor recording quality, of course. I only have this microphone, and there were overhead fans and everything else in the background, but it worked very well. Thank you very much. Merci beaucoup. Au revoir.
Sunday night, I think, 9 o'clock exactly, and I'm looking at a couple of very old horses and a wagon, and my students are going to get on that wagon and go for a beautiful little ride through the woods in the dark, which is always a thrill for them. It's just exciting, and we've been doing this for, again, more than 10 years. It's a Sugar Shack, a restaurant that serves just traditional Quebec food, beginning with pea soup and then the usual ham and tortilla, fresh bread, beets, baked beans, potatoes, and pork rind, and a few other pickled side dishes, coleslaw, just delicious. I mean, a real feast. And followed by crepes and pure maple syrup. Of course, they make the syrup here, so we're deep in the maple woods, sugar maples. And for the final dessert, the second dessert, they take the girls outside and they lay down a trough full of snow, which they keep, and then pour hot maple syrup over it, and then roll it up with a popsicle stick, and it forms like a hard toffee. They have pure maple syrup, and believe me, it is delicious. So this is a routine I look forward to. This is part of the tour. Every year we come to the Sugar Shack for our first supper. Our second supper is at a famous old restaurant in Quebec City, inside the walled city, called L'Ancien Canadien. A very tasty traditional meal, and a really, really nice meal. And for that, the girls dress up, and everybody looks lovely. It's the only time in the whole tour I'll put on a tie and jacket. And it's just a treat. And the girls have just, they've been getting better and better, and tonight, they always, the highlight of the meal is they bring in a traditional singer, musician, and he plays the wooden spoons, and he plays a fiddle, and he plays guitar, and he sings, and he teaches the girls how to play the wooden spoons, and these girls just were amazing how good they were. And then he also had them doing a traditional folk dance, square dance type thing, and got two lines, but 30 girls just racing around the room. So it's just been a blast. So I guess we'll start going, and I'll see you later.
English style, because of the English style we have here in Quebec. They're mainly office buildings. Some of them are hotels. Here is our French general on the right, General Marquis de Montcalm. He was wounded in the park by the flower garden. They put a statue here in dedication to this general who fought against the British. This is the main avenue, the nightlife area that people come and meet here. A lot of outside cafes. In the summertime, we have a lot of activity here. And in the wintertime, these little restaurants make an ice sculpture in front of their restaurant for carnival.
Sitting on a side street in Quebec, away from the tourist areas. It's all locals, I believe. And having a set lunch. This is the steak haché for $8.95. Comes with fresh bread, pea soup, fresh pea soup, a whole plate over hamburger steak, smothered in onions and gravy. Fresh vegetables, salad, and mashed potatoes. It's delicious. It's cheap. And I come here every year to the same restaurant. I leave the teachers and the students behind, and I sneak off at lunchtime to enjoy this little bit of peace of relative quiet. And it's just a treat. It's become another tradition. This very restaurant I've eaten in each year probably for several years. Same as when I go to Montreal, I eat in the Jardin Nelson for the crepes, and this time invited the teachers there. So it's a wonderful tour, just in perspective. The students I bring over from Japan, we spend 10-11 days in Toronto with homestay families, teaching English in the morning, excursions in the afternoon. And then to camp for 6 days, learning the canoeing and stuff you heard about in the last podcast. And now a road trip of about 6 days with three nights in Quebec City, which is just a treat for myself anyway, but of course the students love it. And here we are in the middle of it. Tomorrow is an absolutely free day. Do whatever we want. I think I'll tour the Quebec Parliament buildings, which I've never been inside. It's a beautiful city, a glorious day. Cooler than usual, which is very, very nice, but bright and sunny. And I'm going to get back to my lunch. I just wanted to bring you up to date on this wonderful, wonderful little moment I'm enjoying on this side street at this fine little restaurant. Au revoir. Okay, folks, bear with me. I am on a pilgrimage. I'm here in Quebec City, just off the Rue Saint-Jean, on a place I discovered my last visit to Quebec exactly a year ago. And it is Quebec's first Protestant cemetery. And I think it's a very important place in Quebec's history. And I'm here because I'm outraged at the state of neglect and disrepair of this historic site. Quebec prides itself on its history. It's a beautiful city. Everything is in amazingly good condition to bring people in, and yet this cemetery is in disgusting condition. There is virtually no grass. It's turned to dirt. The litter is not picked up. There are bits of broken rocks everywhere. Most of the graves have been defaced or broken. They're lying on the ground. It seems to be a gathering place for the homeless and mentally disabled. There is fresh human excrement right beside one of the graves, which is not a pretty sight, especially as I'm just inviting my two Japanese teachers to come and see this site with me. And I'm upset, and if I was to start a campaign, which I'm not, but if I was, I would start raising money in the maybe the Scottish Protestant community to say, hey, you've got to draw attention to this site. It's a shame. It really is. And I'm not a nutcase. I don't have this thing. I do, you might think that, because my very first podcast was from a gravesite of the Scottish in Scarborough. And since that time, I've been wanting to come here and talk from this particular grave. I knew I'd be visiting here again, and here it is, several months after starting my podcasts, that I get to visit Quebec's first Protestant cemetery. I'll read it to you. With the acquisition in 1771 of a lot on Saint-Jean Street that had at one time belonged to Denis Saint-Simon, Quebec City's Protestant community was ready to establish its first cemetery. The English army had captured Quebec City 7 years earlier, but the first English military chaplains believed their stay would be brief. They thus took little interest in their civilian flock. From its opening until the time it finally closed in 1860, the Protestant burying ground was the last resting place for Quebec City's Protestant population, irrespective of nationality. It is today the oldest existing cemetery in the province. Well, that alone, the fact that it's the oldest existing cemetery, should give it significance, importance. There should be some attention paid to this thing, and it's truly, truly a shame. Another plaque here, reminder of great epidemics. In the mid-19th century, massive immigration combined with the still undeveloped health services of the time to provoke a rapid spread of contagious disease. In 1847, in the month of June alone, 652 Quebec City residents fell victim to a cholera epidemic, as terrifying as those of 1832 and 1834. Among the victims that month were 160 Protestants, several of whom are buried in the Protestant burying ground. With the onset of autumn, the epidemic was quelled. It was to be the 19th century's last. So, I look around, and as I say, I'm just sad. I'm looking at one homeless, crazy man sitting here, probably his excrement that's beside the graves. I'm walking up the dirt pathway, flowers that have just been trampled on and ignored. And just numerous sites just lying in the ground of people long forgotten. Sacred to the memory of Richard Beard, born January 23rd, 1800, who was unfortunately drowned, Point Levy, I guess, July the 12th, 1833, in attempting to save the property of another stranger. The stone was sent from England and erected in his memory by his grandfather, Thomas Beard. So the grandfather sent the stone out for the son he lost. In Quebec, in 1833, several more. In memory of Suzanne, you can hardly read them, unfortunately. They really should be inscribed with plaques. So, this was my mission, to podcast from here, to bring it to somebody's attention. Here's another one, just broken. The piece is lying, broken in half. And, you know, I'm sure it's deliberate. Completely neglected. Now, of course, the Protestants have left. We are at the church, and this church is now a library. Now, that's probably a good use, because the church is in good repair. People use it, and so I don't have a problem with that. The congregation is gone. There are probably not many Protestants left here. But the state of this graveyard is really, really a shame. John E. Haig, 1828 to 1846. A young man. Midshipman John Haig had been serving on HMS Vindictive, which was docked at Quebec City, and he was drowned after falling overboard on the night of September 24, 1846. The ship's officers, as a sign of their esteem, had a plaque engraved in his memory and placed in the Anglican Cathedral in Desjardins Street. So I guess the body was moved here. Who knows how he fell overboard? Possibly drunk, but let's not go there. Just so many more. Here's a great big one. Something's been sprayed on. It looks like it's been urinated on. Tribute to the memory of Samuel Pike Finch, late shipbuilder, who died 8th of March, 1838, aged 72 years, 6 months, and of Elizabeth Holmes, his wife, who died 17th September, 1841, aged 61 years and 2 months. Also, their 3 infant sons. Erected by their surviving children, who wail on earth their time, to meet with them their God and Savior. Okay. I guess I won't read out too many more. I don't know what else I want to say, other than there is a church in Quebec for the Protestants, and I think it has been intentionally neglected. Believe me, I'm just so proud of Quebec's history, and I feel I'm proud to have been born in Quebec. Probably my heart is still there, but I wish something was done about this. I wouldn't know who to complain to, but here I am, the first. It could be just the people resented the short time the Scottish were here ruling over this place, but hey, it is part of the history. Peter Hunter, 1746 to 1805. Born to a family of the Scottish gentry in 1746, Peter Hunter became a military man and rose to the rank of Lieutenant General. In 1799, he became both Commander-in-Chief of Canadian Forces and Lieutenant Governor of Upper Canada. He held both posts until the time of his death on the 21st of August, 1805, during an inspection tour of Quebec City. Well, there is some significance to that. You know, why is it forgotten, neglected? Now, one thing I don't mind is I smell pot here, and I don't have any problem with people coming in to smoke. I'd just like to see it to be a nicer place with just a little prettier, that more tourists were drawn to. And I don't think anybody would come near this place because of the disgusting state. So there we are, you've heard enough. I'm sorry, but I had to do this. It really was a mission for me, and whether or not I'll go any further in voicing my concern, I don't know. But that was the start. Thank you.
I can well recall the first time I ever put to sea. was on the old Calcutta in 1853. I was just a lad of 14 years, a midshipman to be, to make my way in sailing ships of the Royal Navy. By the time that I was 21, I sailed the world around. Weathered storms in the China seas with the hatches battened down. Made my way by starlight up the coast of Newfoundland and dined on beer and herrings while the waves blew all around. I live in retirement now, and through my window comes the sound of seagulls, and sets my mind remembering. The evening stars like memories sail far beyond the distant trees, way out across the open seas I hear them sing. All the wooden ships, they turn to iron, and the iron ships to steel. Shed their sails like autumn leaves with the turning of the wheel. And I was given captain's rank, soon took under me the proudest ship that ever sailed for queen and country. My calling up to the Admiralty sounds round through the hourglass each day more rapidly as we watched the growing of the fleets of High Germany. So at last the Great War blazed, I waited with the passing days, a call to arms that never came, writing letters. I may be old now in your eyes, but all my years have made me wise. You don't see where the danger lies. Oh, call me back. Call me back. But the war, it ran its course, they could find no use for me. And I live in the country now, grandchildren on my knee. And sometimes think in all this world, the saddest thing to be. Old admirals who feel the wind are never put to sea. Just like you, I've sailed my dreams like ships across the sea. And some of them, they've come on rocks and some face mutiny. When they're sunken one by one, I'll join that company. Old admirals who feel the wind and never put to sea.
Well, since I'm ranting on anyway, I thought I'd share my lunch with you. Here on our last full day in Quebec City, some rather nice kettle chips, the old crinkle cut, salt and fresh ground pepper. I really like pepper chips. A French loaf from a wonderful little bakery, some Oka cheese, some St. Paulin cheese, and a very nice camembert. Some pastrami, a pepperoni stick, and, in order of drinking, this is I share with two other women, so don't get the wrong idea. Petit Train du Nord, these are microbreweries. This is made by Saint Arnaud. I got 6 beer for $10, microbreweries, and they were good. And these are beers I have never even seen before. So, Saint-Arnaud, Petit Train du Nord, a very, very nice, actually a blonde beer, followed by Rivière Rouge by a same brewery, Saint-Arnaud, and of course that's a red beer. That was followed by the Chanvre Noir. And this is a porter, a non-traditional ale by Le Chaudron International, a company I've never heard of. It's got a marijuana leaf as its logo. That was followed by the Blanche de Quebec, and this one I've never had before, but it's seen around. And again, it's a Belgian-style white ale. That was probably the nicest. All natural. Lovely, lovely picture of label on it. I've got to get all the labels off for Barnacle Bill if I can. And that was followed by L'Ombre, a same brewing company, Femme Brasserie Chune, S-C-H-O-U-N-E. Chune, I don't know how you pronounce that. Farm Brewery. And that was an all natural amber ale. And sitting in the ice bucket, waiting till we come back in the evening, is Alerab Maple Ale, again by the Chune Brewery, an all-natural maple pale ale. Had one of those before, not this particular company. So that's quite a feast. We had a wonderful walk after I gave the rant in the Protestant cemetery, and then we went next door to a little market and bought all this food and drink, and brought it back to our room and had a very good discussion about Canadian history. A toast, of course, with every bottle of beer. And done a little bit about Japanese history, in particular World War II, seeing as how this is the anniversary of the end of the war. And there was an interesting article about some of the veterans, the Dutch, the Canadians, who really did suffer at the hands of the Japanese. And so we discussed that openly, and I was very respectful of the other teacher's views on this and her comments. I won't mention her name. I'd have to come up with a false name like I do with everybody else. But it was just a good, honest, open discussion. It's been a wonderful, wonderful tour. The time in Pickle Lake that you heard about on the previous podcast, and now here we are, Quebec City, and leaving for Kingston tomorrow. But thoroughly enjoying, the weather's beautiful, and just to walk the streets of Old Quebec, it's such a trip. If you've never been to Quebec City, by God, you're missing something. If anybody is in BC and has never been east, it's time you came. And from any other country. I don't know. I don't think I have that many listeners out there, but I'm telling you, it's a fine, fine part of the country. So I'll leave it at that. It's time. I won't have a little siesta. I think I'll go out for another walk. We have to meet all the students at 5 o'clock. And then we go off for supper on our own. And then again at 9 o'clock, we count heads, and that's the end of the day. And we'll come back. The other teacher, the senior teacher, we'll call her Mickey, bought a bottle of Canadian cider, which she wants to get into. So, no rest for the wicked. Thanks for listening, and here's a tune.
In the morning by my side sat the darling of my pride, while our happy children round us were at play. When the news spread through the land that the Fenians were at hand, at our country's call we'll cheerfully obey. Tramp, 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 the boys are marching. Cheer up, comrades, let them come. For beneath the Union Jack we will drive the Fenians back, and we'll fight for our beloved Canadian home. If that poor deluded band dare set foot upon our land, or molest the rights of England's noble queen, we will show them British pluck, English, Irish, Scot, Canuck, and they'll wish themselves at home again, I ween. Tramp, 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 the boys are marching. Cheer up, comrades, let them come. For beneath the Union Jack we will drive the Fenians back, and we'll fight for our beloved Canadian home. Tramp, 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 the boys are marching. Cheer up, comrades, let them come. For beneath the Union Jack we will drive the Fenians back, and we'll fight for our beloved Canadian home.
Well, hello again, folks. It's the Scarborough Dude still on the road. In fact, I am now standing in an area known as Chrysler's Farm. And any student of Canadian history will know the significance of that, because it was here at Chrysler's Farm on November 11th, 1813, that a very important battle was fought in the War of 1812-1814 against the enemy at that time, the good old Americans. And it's kind of interesting. My students right now are exploring Upper Canada Village, which is a great place to bring them and show them what pioneer life was like in Canada before the CN Tower, before the Sky Dome, before the Eaton Centre. And I've encouraged them to go around and ask questions of any of the people dressed in period costume. I've been through myself at least 24 times with groups, so I'm snuck off to the adjacent property, which is Chrysler's Farm. And it was here that one of the most important battles was fought. I'll head over to a plaque, and hopefully it's not too windy. The Battle of Chrysler's Farm, 1813. In November 1813, an American army of some 8,000 men, commanded by Major General James Wilkinson, moved down the St. Lawrence en route to Montreal. Wilkinson was followed and harassed by a British Corps of Observation, consisting of about 800 regulars, militia, and Indians, commanded by Lieutenant Colonel Joseph Morrison. On November 11th, Morrison's force, established in a defensive position on John Chrysler's Farm, was attacked by a contingent of the American Army numbering about 4,000 men, commanded by Brigadier General J.P. Boyd. The hard-fought engagement ended with the Americans' withdrawal from the battlefield. This reverse, combined with the defeat of another invading army at Chateauguay on October 26, saved Canada from conquest in 1813. And if it wasn't for those decisive battles, we might well all be part of the United States of America right now. So this is the commemoration. There's a big monument up to them, a small museum here, in honor of the soldiers who fought gallantly and died. And it's quite fitting. And I enjoy so much having the privilege to share Canadian history with Japanese teenagers.
even though they're young and the highlight on their list any day would be shopping, I still make sure they get a pretty healthy dose of our history. And they've seen it on this tour because we've come from Toronto to Ottawa to Montreal to Quebec City, now here at Upper Canada Village, and tonight we'll be having dinner in Old Fort Henry in Kingston, served by soldiers in uniform of the day. That's going to be very exciting, and followed at night by a wonderful tattoo show inside Fort Henry. So they really do get a lot out of this, and believe me, I've been doing this for a dozen years, and I learn more and get more excited with Canadian history every single time. And we do talk a lot about the French, and we talk about the English, and the Scots, and the Irish, and the Algonquins, and the Iroquois, and everybody who makes up this part of Canadian history. It's just a wonderful place to be, and it's fascinating, and I just wish more people would take an interest. And instead of watching Seinfeld or Friends, pick up a book on Canadian history and explore a little bit of our wonderful past. So there you go. And I guess I better go and find the rest of my students and encourage them to interact with the pioneers and find out more about what life was like in Canada, in Upper Canada, I should say, 150 years ago. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned while we head down the road for Kingston.